Good afternoon, everyone. This must be the most beautiful campsite I have ever been to. It's very, very beautiful, and I'm so glad that, and you might not agree with me, that there's no air conditioning. Because wherever I go in America, I have to take jumpers, you call them sweaters, is that right? And blankets, because I get so cold. And I felt very sorry for Boris, our presenter this morning, another Aussie, because it, you know, he's a larger man and I think pumps more heat than me. But I'm very glad to be here and to share with you some precious promises and truths from the Word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made." This amazing piece of machinery that we live in fact, I would like to suggest, in fact, Ellen White calls it the crowning work of creation, is that right? And I really appreciated our presenter this morning who said that this body has one purpose. One purpose alone, and that is to be to have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You see, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I said to my grandson, who I'm teaching John chapter 1, the fifth verse is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Oh, brother and sister, may it be that that not be us, that the light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4, the Bible says that God, who commanded the light to shine forth in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here they are. Earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. You see, it says in Psalm 103, He remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. But, oh, such precious dust. In fact, it says in Desire of Ages that God sent Jesus on the most expensive errand. You see, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So this is a body that was designed for one purpose, and that is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So no wonder in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we know it then, that the writer says, "I beseech you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." What sort of temple do you have for the indwelling of the Spirit of God? And science shows us now, and I'm sure we all know, that the effect on our body of what happens in our mind is well documented, but the effect of what's happening in our body and what that has on our mind is also well documented. And so when God says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God," the next verse is not unusual. It says, "which is your reasonable service." Do you know why it's so reasonable? Who's the winner? We are. It's good living in a body that works. And I was reminded 3 weeks ago that we are just a piece of dust. I was at a teaching missionary school in Fiji. I had 20 students behind me. We were running up hills. Unfortunately, the girls couldn't keep up with us. I said, "Girls, it's time for you to get fit. God needs fit people for His work." And we're running down the hill to dive in the sea, and my sarong kept getting caught in the bushes, and I looked down to catch it, and my feet went out from under me, and ooh, bit of dust. Because it was so painful, I lectured for 4 hours, and by the end of that, it was very painful. I just had my arm up like this, poulticed, of course, and bandaged, of course. But do you know, when you don't get results, you've got to go one step further. It must be a break, said my friend, the Fijian doctor. So it was x-rayed, no break. 3 weeks later, must be a hairline fracture. But you know what I'm saying to this wrist? I'm hearing you. I'm listening. You like to be bound? I'm hearing you. Do you know, I believe we all should be our own doctor, because only you know how you feel. Is that right? Only you know how your body responds or reacts to different things. And so I'm listening, and I'm listening to this. And I cannot do this, and I cannot do that, but I can do more than I could 2 weeks ago, and even 1 week ago. And I read in 127 of the Ministry of Healing, where Ellen White says, nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient it seems slow. Well, I'd like to say right now, I think it's too slow. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice. But in the end, it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Do you know, if you watch that baby every day, you can't see it grow, can you? I used to watch my babies intently. I remember when I had my fourth baby in my arms, I told everyone it was my last baby. Oh, I just watched her. Oh, how the mother does that. It's hard to understand until you've had a baby. And I remember my husband at the time said, you can have another one. There must have been something in my look. But we cannot see them grow. Do you know, as a baby grows, as a plant grows, so do we heal. I have to remember that I couldn't even brush my hair, and I can brush my hair now. But I'd like to challenge you, try cleaning your teeth with your left hand. I am so clumsy, my poor teeth are probably wondering, what's she doing? But we thank God for what we have. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, we don't have to like it. We just have to thank him. And I remember one day when I was feeling a little discouraged because this hand is not working the way I'd like it to work, God impressed upon my heart. He said, you should have seen what he wanted to do to you. Because what does it say in 1 Peter 5, verse 8? It says, know you not that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeing whom he can devour? Have you ever seen something devour something? It's not just one bite, they tear them apart. And then the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And I'm sure everyone here has had a little tear or a break in their lifetime. Is that right? One of my feet wouldn't work. It was about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And everything I did wasn't working, so I went to the doctor. I said, can you tell me what's going on with my foot? He looked at it, he felt it, asked me some questions. He threw his head back and he laughed. I said, what? He said, you've got plantar fasciitis. I said, plantar what? Plantar fascia is the tendon underneath your foot. He said, you must have been running too fast up hills or something, but your plantar fasciitis tendon is inflamed. That's the itis. He said, that'll take 10 months to heal. Oh. So I thought, I'm going to speed this up. So I got 2 buckets, 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds ice cold, 3 minutes hot, 30 seconds ice cold, 3 times. You see, Leviticus 17 verse 11 says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the beauty of those hot and cold, those hydrotherapy treatments, they increase blood to the area. I'd be lecturing for 2 hours, And I learnt to stand on my good foot more than my other foot without people really noticing. And I'd try very hard not to limp out of the room. I'd go home and I'd do hot and colds, and the relief is incredible. Did you know that hydrotherapy has been used for centuries, and in the area of pain relief, it's without equal? That's a quote from Dr. Kellogg, who wrote whole volumes on hydrotherapy. And we've all got water, yeah? And this morning I went down to the sea and I just laid my whole hand in that water. Oh, how nice, because that still gets a little warm. And the minerals, they help to heal. So let's go back to plantar fasciitis. I did it twice a day when I could. If I traveled, I had two buckets with me. There's always ice in the motel room. There's always a kettle because people want ice in their scotch, is that right? And a kettle for their cups of coffee. In everything, give thanks. In 6 weeks, I was walking without limp. Months. Let's get back. I was told 10 months. In 6 months, I had total heal. Now, after about 5 months, of course, it's getting easier and easier and easier. And so in 6 months, I had totally healed something that the doctor said would take me 10 months. Don't you love doing that? So let's look at a year later. A man emails me. He said, Barbara, I've got plantar fasciitis. I said, do hot and colds twice a day. He said, hot and colds twice a day? Oh. Do you know what it says in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing? That the use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not prepared to give. After 1 week, he said, it's not better. I'm going to the doctor. Doctor put a cortisone injection in, gave him some drugs. I get a call a month later. It's worse. What'll I do? Go back to my last email. How long's that take? 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 30. What's that? 12 minutes? How many hours in a day? 24 hours in a day? You just have to make an appointment with yourself. A guest came to our health retreat. We run, on an average, 3 programs a month. We average about 14 guests every program. Praise God. God is bringing the wealthy into our retreat, and if you knocked on the door, they'd slam the door in your face because Australia is a very secular society. Some of our guests almost leave when we pray with our first meal, and God brings those people into our health retreat. Praise God for the health work. So we had a lady come. She had plantar fasciitis. I said, how long have you had plantar fasciitis for? She said, 18 months. She'd been limping for 18 months. So we did hot and colds in the morning, hot and colds in the afternoon. By the third day, she was walking. Now, she's not healed, but she's come a long way there. You see, we live in a body that's been designed to heal itself. And it will heal itself. Little tiny two-letter word here. If you give it the right conditions. And that's why page 127, and can you tell it's my favorite page in that book? Page 127 of the Ministry of Healing states that the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. Many are sick through ignorance. They don't know the conditions required to bring about healing in the body. So if the human body was designed to heal itself, and it will if you give it the right conditions, the next question is a little three-letter word. Why are so many people sick? Newton's third law of motion states that to every action there is an equal and an opposite reaction. There is always a reason. And Newton's third law of motion is already in the Bible because we know that God wrote science, didn't he? And you'll find it in Proverbs 26, verse 2, it says, the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, no problem, no curse happens without a cause. There's always a reason. And then in Galatians 6, verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Now, God forgives. Of course he forgives. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Absolutely. But there's consequence. There's consequence. and he will help you to endure the consequence. But he will also show you, through the natural remedies, simple things that can be introduced not only to bring relief, but to bring about healing in the body. In page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, she says, in case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained. Got that? Cause. Because the curse causeless shall not come. So when someone writes to me and says, Barbara, I've got rashes all over my body. What will I do? A man emailed me yesterday. He said, I've got rashes all over my body. He said, my eyes are swollen. So first we ascertain the cause. I said, eczema psoriasis is usually due to an allergy. Now that allergy could be mold. Have you read what the Bible says to do if your house is moldy? Destroy it. Have you read what the Bible says to do if the clothes or the cloths are moldy? Burn them. Something very interesting. In the Old Testament, it calls mold in the house leprosy. Have you seen that? Because in the New International Version, the leprosy has been interpreted as mildew. And then it says leprosy in the clothes. And in the New International Version, mildew in the clothes. And then it says leprosy on the skin. Now, if they were interpreting correctly, do you know what leprosy on the skin would be? Mildew. It's the same word. And if you have a look scientifically, see, in the medical dictionary, mold is called myco. So if you look up myco in a medical dictionary, you'll get pages and pages and pages showing the fungal or the mold link with many diseases. In fact, AIDS shows it's a myco, it's a mold. And what did God say to do if there's mold in the house? Destroy it. So I said to this man who's covered in eczema, I said, have you had any exposure to mold? Have you had any exposure to chemicals? Have you? And so allergy to mold, and the fact is we're all allergic to mold, and the fact is we're all allergic to chemicals, but also allergy to food. And the three most common food allergens are wheat, dairy, and refined sugar. But didn't God made wheat? Not this one. In the 1950s, it went through intensive crossbreeding. You see, when I was a little girl, the wheat grew that high. Now it grows that high, is that right? It's gone through intensive crossbreeding. But what was never addressed was the effect of that intensive crossbreeding on the grain and its effect on the human body. And in other lectures, I'll pursue that a little bit more. But haven't people all through Europe been drinking milk? Oh, yeah, not the one in the supermarket, though. And not from the cows. I'm a fifth generation Scottish descent. I've never been able to handle milk. It is true that some cultures, it's in their heritage, they can handle it a little more. Didn't God make the sugar cane? He did, but not the sugar. You see, sugar is as closely related to the sugar cane as heroin is to the poppy plant. Mm-hmm. Did you know it takes one molecule of glucose? One molecule of glucose requires 28 molecules of magnesium to process it. And in the sugar cane, all that magnesium's in those juices. But once you take it out, whew, what a disruption it causes. I've yet to hear from that man, but I have helped many, many people with this. One lady whose baby was covered in eczema, I said, you've got to stop the wheat, dairy, refined sugar. After 1 month, she said, there's no change. I said, it'll take 2 months. It takes 2 months to get it out of the body. On the second month, end of 2 months, exactly 8 weeks, she sent me a picture of her baby, eczema-free. Can it be that simple? Don't you think God meant it to be that simple? The human body can heal itself if you give it the right conditions. And remember, nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual. And to the impatient, it seems slow. But in the end, it will be found that nature untrammeled does her work wisely and well. I just got to remember that. The good news is, 3 weeks ago, I couldn't even write. So in page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, she says, the cause should be ascertained. Unhealthful conditions changed. Got to get out of that moldy house. I've had two men in our program, happened about a year apart, both in their 40s, that got depression 6 months after moving into a moldy house. Wow. And as we go through our lectures this week, I'll actually explain that right at the cellular level. It robs the body of oxygen. And that brain cell needs oxygen. We've got 1 trillion brain cells, and the energy cycle in our brain cells need oxygen. And when they have oxygen, they'll give 18 times more energy compared to a cell that doesn't have oxygen. Unhelpful conditions have to be changed, wrong habits corrected. On page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, I probably don't need to say that anymore. She says, pure air, sunshine, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. And I remember when I first married Michael. You see, my first husband was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I had to flee my home with my 6 children in 1993. And I say to people, if you know of a woman that's not living in a good situation and she won't leave, never criticize her, because it's a terrifying thing. Terrifying for a woman to leave her home. It was a terrifying night. So I left my home. And praise be to God, it was Sabbath and I was at church, and they helped me. So when I left home in 1993, I thought it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. But, you know, it turned out to be the very best. I found out a few other things that my first husband had to go to jail for. And I was divorced, so I was 4 years a single mother. My eldest daughter went to work at a health retreat. So after a year, we moved up there. And after another year, the business manager asked me to marry him. And that's why I have 8 children. I gave birth to 6, only 6. And then Michael had 2 children. When we married, the ages of our children were 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 19, 21. Mine 10, he's 11, mine 12, he's 13, and then all the rest mine. And the youngest now is 30, and don't ask me to do all the rest, but it's something like that. And when Michael and I were married, he was the business manager at the health retreat. I was still homeschooling my younger children, and I learnt natural remedies. Little by little, I learnt them through reading and through practicing them on the children. I was never officially taught, but I had friends that would show me what the weeds in the garden were. I met an old lady named Daisy when I was 25. She was 85, and she told me about charcoal. She told me about grated potato. And so I got a book, and I started putting these things in. And I got a book by Dr. Kellogg on simple water cures, so I started to do that with the children. And, yeah, we had a few hiccups on the way, like when James's charcoal poultice on his chest sprung a leak, and when we were walking along, there was a little line of black powder all the way behind us. And then I learnt that you mix charcoal with your flax or with your psyllium, and it makes a much better poultice. But the good news is the children are all still alive. They survived the experiment. And all very, very strong and healthy today, I think, because they didn't have the drugs. So Michael and I had been married about 6 months, and I was at home doing my queen of the household duties and homeschooling my children. It was the afternoon. He rang me. He said, Barbara, we've overbooked. Our naturopath has 2 bookings. We didn't realize there were 2 bookings. And this couple have come all the way from Brisbane. This is when the retreat was up in Brisbane way. And they're not happy. They've driven an hour and a half. And when Michael first discovered it, my 14-year-old daughter Julia, she was working in the office. She said, "Mum's a naturopath." And Michael looked at her and said, "Is she?" We weren't married, but I had been awarded a certificate because of my work in the field, but I just saw myself as a lady who had treated her children and helped other mothers. Michael rang up and said, "Barbara, can you come down and help us? I'd like you to consult with this couple. You know, I see all God's biddings as his enabling." So even though I was terrified, I said, "Yes, husband." I took my apron off, did my hair, and came down, and I sat with them. Where do I start? I started with the 8 laws of health, because Ellen White said these are the true remedies. I talked to the lady about the air in her home. Did she open her windows? Was there any mold or chemicals exposure? I talked to her about sunshine. She had a tumor, and basically medicine had given up on her. She was in her 50s. I said, put it in the sun every day. I asked her about whether she drinks coffee or alcohol, or does she have sugar. I went through that with her and we made some adjustments there. I asked her what time she goes to bed every night, which was a little late. So I advised her to go to bed earlier, because the hours of power is when your batteries recharge and your healing accelerates. I asked her about exercise. She wasn't really doing any. So what I did was I talked about a form of exercise that she could do that would suit her. Then, let's see, we're going through the laws. We're up to proper diet. I've talked to her about going onto a plant-based diet. It's very important, I find, that when you make these suggestions, you need answers for the people. You need to show them how they can do it. And then I asked her about how much water she drank. 2 glasses a day. You know, the body cannot function unless it's hydrated. So I talked to her about introducing more water, sipping it slowly through the day. I talked to her about her relationship with God. You can't always do that in Australia. And I told her that God is the healer and to put a trust in him. It took about an hour. And I also talked to her about poultices, how she could poultice the tumor with castor oil. Castor oil penetrates deeper than any other oil and it can break up tumors, can even break up a bone spur. I finished in an hour, I left and I went home and I didn't think any more about it. And Marcus said to me that night, he said, "What did you say to those people?" I said, "I don't know, I didn't say much." He said, "They are so impressed, they have booked into the health retreat and they want you there." And that really shocked me. But you know, God was teaching me something. You see, I'm very shy and I would just prefer to be doing the dishes in the kitchen. But I have a passion to do what God wants me to do. My Saviour died that I might live. And I also love helping people. In fact, I think we've all been bitten with that. Well, 6 months later, Michael said, "I now want to open my own health retreat." So he'd been asked by a facility down in Melbourne, that's down the bottom of Australia, to start a health retreat. It was a beautiful facility. So we drove down there and my daughter Julia, who was 15, she was the cook. Now she'd been cooking since she was 8. Homeschool kids, though. Proficient. My daughter Jessica was a trained massage therapist. She started training at 16. And our 3 boys, who were, I think, 12 and 14, something like that, 13 something at the time, they've all been gardening since they were this big. So they were our gardeners. And Marcus' daughter Michaela, she was 12, very proficient on the typewriter, pianist. She was his secretary. So we had a whole team. And I said, "Who will be the health director?" He said, "You." I said, "Oh, no, I'm just a mother and I help other mothers." He said, "You'll be good." And he walked out of the room. Right. The good news is the first guest was one. I could do that. I could easily do one-to-one. And then little by little, more guests came. So that was 20 years ago. Michael and I have been married now for 21 years. So for 20 years, we have been doing the health work. And I'm so glad that he pushed me in. I was so shy that when it came time for lectures, he would start and then he would ease me in and ask me questions and then he would slip out the back door. What I have learned in those years is that the best way to learn is to teach. And I also want to know why, and I think we all do. And God gave us a brain that wants to work it out and understand these things. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to, in the rest of our time together this afternoon, look at medicine's two theories of why people get sick. One is the gene theory. It's not me, it's in my genes. And the other is the germ theory. It's not me, it's the germ. I'd like to have a look briefly at, are they the true cause of disease? What is their true role in the functioning of the human body? And in 1953, I know because it was the year I was born, although I didn't read the newspaper then, Secret of Life had been discovered. It made headlines, and two scientists, Watson and Crookes, had been able to unravel the DNA. Now, to know how the body heals, we have to know how it works. And to know how it works, we go right inside the cell where we find the nucleus, and in the nucleus is the DNA. And Watson and Crookes had been able to unravel the DNA. I'm sure we've all seen drawings of the DNA. 23 chromosomes from our mother, 23 chromosomes from our father. My chromosomes determined I'm only 5'2". That came from my father. My mother's chromosomes determine I have blue eyes and light hair. We do it with each other. We do it with our children. We do it with our relatives. So the information in my DNA determines that I have light skin. My father died only 2 months ago at 92, and most of his hair was still black. My mother died at 51. She was a cripple in a wheelchair with rheumatoid arthritis, and her hair was brown. So, yes, I've got brown hair, even though in only a week's time I'll be 65. You see, it's in my genes, whereas my husband is white. Both his parents were white by 50. And when people see photographs of my husband, they say, oh, he's blonde, and I just smile. And he's told me I'm not allowed to go grey. I said, it's not the pot calling the kettle black, is it? Inside this DNA, there's a huge amount of information. And if you were to put all that information into alphabetical language and put it into paperback books and pack them on top of one another, it would go to the moon and back quite a few times. I can't get my mind around that. What does Psalm 139 say in verse 14? I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Then the next verse says, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. In thy book were all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when there was yet none of them. Do you know what it's talking about there? The DNA. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, curiously formed in the lowest parts of the earth. I carried 6 babies, but I didn't know what was happening in there. I could not see that. I did not have any say over what happened in there. But God wrote it in the DNA. Yeah? Did you know that the DNA is perfectly intact within 1 week of conception? And that DNA never has been and will never be again. There might be some surprises on the resurrection morning with that knowledge. Did you know that there are between 2 and 500,000 sperm in one ejaculation? Wow. Just incredible. So never for a moment don't think you're not precious. You're an absolute individual. And it's all written in the DNA. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. Isn't that interesting? It's referring to the fact that today no child is born perfect. We've all got some weaknesses in the DNA. I have a weakness in my DNA to rheumatoid arthritis. My mother was a cripple and died at 51. But you know what I'm very thankful to God for? That genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. I'm not 51. I'm way past 51, and yet I'm not crippled and in a wheelchair. And I'm actually not dead. You've probably noticed. Aren't you glad that genetics loads the gun but lifestyle pulls the trigger? We all have loaded guns because we've all been born in the last generation. Do you believe that? That will live on this planet? What do they say? We're in the very toenails of history. I hope you got my accent right. Daniel 2's vision. We're way down there at the end. But praise God that genetics loads the gun but it's lifestyle that pulls the trigger. I have a loaded gun. I know how to pull the trigger and I know how not to pull it. Praise be to God. He has shown us that. This DNA is made up of the very food that we eat. The outside strands is made up of polysaccharides. Everything we eat is made out of polysaccharides. What are polysaccharides? Many sugars. The crosswood bands is amino acids. That's a breakdown from the chickpeas, or you call them garbanzos, yeah, that I ate at lunchtime, and those kidney beans. There's our protein. And the tofu I had this morning. And the glue that glues all this together is minerals. Minerals glues us together. When we're lacking minerals, we cannot heal. And when you consider that one molecule of glucose requires 28 molecules of magnesium to process it, whoa! And when you realize that caffeine leaches the magnesium too, everyone that, and I was on the plane yesterday and they keep offering me coffee and tea, but I said, no, thank you, I'll have water. So everyone on that plane, are they getting restless legs at night? Are they getting muscle cramps? Are they not healing because of the minerals that have been leached? And what does Revelation say? Revelation says in Revelation chapter 12, and it's verse 9, and it says, that great dragon was cast down, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Do you see the next bit? Which deceives the whole world. Surely not us. That's how he works. Oh, a little coffee will relax you. Nothing wrong with a little bit of sugar. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. He doesn't come right out and say it or we wouldn't listen to him. He deceives. Many are sick through deception. Deception. I'm here to give you the facts. What are the facts? The facts are the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What did he say about the devil? In John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. Sometimes he uses straight out lies, but his most clever tool is deception. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind that determines the facts and determines the truth. And you know what we've got when we've got that? We've got another F. It's called faith. Faith in an amazing body that has the ability to heal itself. When you consider that our DNA is made up of the food we eat, you begin to understand why people aren't healing. Hippocrates, father of medicine, he said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And he didn't know what I've just told you. He did not know about the DNA. He did not know that the very food we eat influences our DNA. So when genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger, Do you know, a lot of the time it's the food that's pulling the trigger, or the lack of nourishment in the food. And when I look in some supermarket trolleys, I think, oh, how will their DNA ever be made? That's why Ellen White says, cause ascertained, unhelpful conditions changed, wrong habits corrected. So what I'd like to look at now is what causes damage in the DNA. 92% of DNA damage, the research is showing, is being caused by a mineral deficiency. Whew. Mineral deficiency. I look at how my mum ate. Mum loved cups of tea. She hardly drank any water. She loved her tea 3 times a day. She always had sugar in her tea. I'm fifth generation Australian. This was our tea every night. Oh, you call it supper. Yeah, sorry, I'll say it right, supper. It was chops or sausages, mashed potato, frozen peas or beans. You know, there's not much minerals in there at all. And then we'd have ice cream for dessert. And I didn't think there was anything else other than white bread in the world. That's all we ate. Everyone I knew ate like that. The Presbyterian church that we went to, they ate like that. My neighbours ate like that. My relatives ate like that. No one ever blinked. But we're not seeing the sickness today. I mean, sickness, we didn't see the sickness then that we see today. There's a very interesting book. It's called The Calcium Lie by Dr. Robert Thompson. The Calcium Lie by Dr. Robert Thompson, he shows that today our soils have 50% less nutrients than they had 50 years ago. So if the soil's deficient, the plant's deficient, and the person that eats that food is deficient. And on top of that, you put the stimulants that are leaching the minerals out of the body. There's your refined sugar. I'm not talking about maple syrup. Oh, you live in Canada. There's no need ever to eat sugar. Huh? You've got that beautiful maple syrup and honey. So what also leaches is caffeine. When I was in Punjab, India, 2 months ago, I talked about the dangers of the dairy and the wheat and the refined sugar. And a man came up to me and said, Barbara, you've just taken all our food away. There's nothing left to eat. And I showed them how they could make their roti, you know, their thin flatbread. They grow a lot of wheat, but they also grow a sorghum. Australia's always grown sorghum for cows, but they've discovered it's gluten-free. So they're even making gluten-free Weet-Bix now, did you know? You've heard of Weet-Bix? It's a sanitarium breakfast of a nation. I don't think I've eaten it for about 40 years. There's other things I prefer. So I showed them. It's called the great millet, also sorghum. I showed them how they could make their roti out of that. And one lady was very convicted. She had to stop her chai tea. They drink huge amounts of chai tea. All along the side of the road, there are men selling, you know, chai tea. They got these. Where I was in Punjab, Fazuka I was, I never saw another Westerner. Some Hindus saw my lectures on YouTube and they invited me to come and teach them. I don't know if they were too happy in the first 24 hours. But little by little, I had to look more at what they ate. Dal, they ate a lot of dal. You know, there certainly were things they could eat. But one lady said to me, I didn't have my chai tea this morning. I thought, I'm going to stop this. I don't want that caffeine leaching my minerals. And if you want to know if it's addictive and you're having it, just stop it. It'll quickly tell you. People say, do you drink coffee, Barbara? I say, no, I just watch the people suffer. Day one, Misty Mountain Health Retreat. This is the sign. Oh, it's highly addictive. So she didn't have her chai tea that morning. She said within half an hour she had the most terrible headache. And she thought, I've got to function here. I've got to be with my little ones. So she had half a cup of chai tea. I said, well done. That's what you do. You come off it easy, 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 easy. It's like the lady that woke up one morning at our health retreat and she was just a mess. I said, what have you done? She said, I've stopped all my cortisone. I said, oh dear. She had rheumatoid arthritis. I said, you can't do that. You can't just stop it. Now, she was on 10 milligrams of cortisone, but I said, how long since you've taken it? She said, 24 hours. I said, why don't you take 5? Remember she'd been on 10? Oh, and the body was very happy. She was told she'd never be off the 10. She came back a year later and she said, I'm come here to do the health retreat again and I bought no cortisone. And I thought, oh dear. So I quickly rang her doctor. He made a script and 2.5. So he put her on 2.5 milligrams of cortisone and her body was happy with that. It's interesting, when you take it away from the body and you give it back, but only in half dose, seems to be very happy. This is a little bit. You know, the good news is within 18 months she was off all her medication. In fact, her friends were so impressed, and she knew a lot of guys from a bikey club, and they held a rock concert and raised money for her to come to our retreat again. So ease off. And if children are addicted to sugar, I can tell you now, there'll be withdrawals. So you've got to ease off that. Now, these stimulants are not only damaging the DNA, they're leaching the minerals out. Tobacco damages the DNA. There's a Polish professor, his name's Professor Walter Weiss. You may have heard of him. I went to a presentation by him and he had photographs of children born to smoking parents. They had holes in the honeycomb shape around the alveoli. They had less alveoli in their lungs, all because of the parent smoking. Now, if a girl says to me, I've stopped smoking now that I'm pregnant, I say, well, I'm very glad you've stopped smoking, but unfortunately, damage has already been done. But remember, genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. Also, alcohol. Children being born today with fetal alcohol syndrome to people that have 2 drinks a week. We're looking at what damages the DNA. 92% of DNA damage is caused by a mineral deficiency. These stimulants all damage the DNA, but they also leach the minerals out. Genetically modified foods. Did you know that President Vladimir Putin has passed a law that any Russian who grows genetically modified foods is to be considered a terrorist? Did we think that would come out of Russia? He said, this is the law, anyone who grows genetically modified foods or even sells it is to be considered a terrorist in Russia. He says, we Russians look across at the West, over-medicated, over-vaccinated. Did you hear that? This is President Putin. He said, overfed, sitting in front of the box every night. He said, and it's weakening the West. Is he right? It is. It's eased up because it's just so comfortable. Is that right? We need to be shaken out of our comfort zones a little bit because we know there's a time of trouble coming and we need to be ready. Genetically modified foods damage the DNA. Genetically modified foods cause cancer. Unfortunately, Monsanto is so big and so wealthy, they are able to get the barristers. Apparently, you don't have barristers, eh? That's the highest level of lawyers. And they are able to win every court case. So in Australia, America, I don't know about Canada, they don't have to put it on the label, whether it's genetically modified. But if you buy organically grown food, you can be 99% sure that it is not GMO because the organic farmer cannot use genetically modified seed. And grow as much of your own as you can. Electromagnetic field. Ooh. We are electrical people. There's a spark of electricity in every cell of our body. So it's not the electromagnetic field, it's the excess. There's 500 times the electromagnetic field that's usually on the planet is underneath those huge electrical towers. And you know, traditionally houses have not been able to be built under them, but you look in houses estates, housing estates today, they're building them under there. And every farmer knows if his cows graze under there, they'll have stillborns, they'll give birth to calves or little sheep, that lambs that are deformed. Yeah? Pardon? It does damage plants. Do you know, when I lived in the rainforest, there we had huge electrical towers, not near our house, but way back on the other mountains. My children used to go up there and they would pick the plants because there were everlasting daisies with five centers. There were all these strange things happening in the plants. So it happens in the plants. It can happen in the animals. Can it happen in the humans? And how many people are sick with various ailments and they just go to the doctor and they're given a label? You know what the label is? It just tells you what all the symptoms are. It's like a lady said, I found the cause of all my problem. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. I said, that's not the cause, that's the effect. Never should we blame the effect as the cause. So be very careful. And the worst place you put the laptop is, guess where? On your lap. Do you know what the research is showing? Young girls from, say, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 who have laptops regularly on their laps, it's affecting the development of their eggs. So it's getting almost a 50% miscarriage in those girls when they're having their babies in their late 20s, 30s. Yeah, tablets are the same. You've got that electromagnetic field coming. So what I do is I have it on the arm of the chair and I keep it there until the plane takes off. Then I can put the table on, you have it there. Oh, how we love it. I've got WhatsApp, so I took a little video at 6 o'clock this morning of this surround campground. So my children in Australia have got it. My husband's in Thailand. He's got it. Don't you love technology? So it's a matter of using it so it is not harming you. And if you're on the phone, put it on speaker or put your little ear things in. But be very cautious of your exposure to electromagnetic field. What the Australian Health Department have stated, that children under 2 should have no exposure at all. Isn't that incredible? I'm on the plane a lot. How do they keep the kids quiet? Give them the phone. Now, only last week I was at a health retreat in Alabama and we had a lady who is a teacher for children with disabilities. And she said they had a government program, which of course is funding her teaching these children. And it said that the children had to have some learning time on the computer, but she noticed that it wound them up. So she just gave them book time and that did not wind them up. But to get the tick and to get the funding, she'd had to say it in a way. She'd say, oh, yeah, the computers are on. They're over in the next room, but we never go there. Just that one thing alone. And some say, oh, it's all right if it's nice and calm. But that's what this was, nice and calm. So be very cautious of that. Also, we're looking at what causes damage in the DNA chemicals. Be careful what you're washing your clothes in, what you're cleaning your teeth in, what you're washing your hair in, what's in your food. There are so many hidden things. We're to go back to what our grandmothers did. They cleaned the house with white vinegar and sodium bicarbonate. And if you want it to smell nice, get some lavender oil or eucalyptus oil or something like that, and it'll be a lot cheaper. Many people are sick because they're poisoning themselves with the chemicals that are in their cleaning products, in their clothes. So it's time to cleanse that and be very, remember what the curse causeless shall not come. So we've got to investigate. We should all be private investigators. Job 29:16 says, the cause I knew not, I searched out. I love the detective work because there is always a reason. That's why you've got to spend time in detective work. So get the chemicals out. Now, the biggest chemical company in the world, you know what its name is? The pharmaceutical company. And I noticed just the drive from the airport, even in the tiniest town, there are these, you call them drug stores, is that right? These huge. In Australia, we call them chemists, but they're pharmacies here. Well, if you go to Genesis 18, verse 23, but I'm sure we all know Revelation. Revelation 18 is talking about Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Then we go to verse 23, talking about Babylon. And her merchants were the great men of the earth who deceived, remember that's how the devil works, deceived all nations. How many? Deceived all nations by her sorceries. Now, if you go into your concordance, that word sorcery comes from the word pharmakia, pharmacies, drugs. Now, I acknowledge in a crisis a drug can save a life, absolutely, but I'm not talking about that. The fact is the human body can cope with about two courses of antibiotics in a lifetime. Did you hear that? Two courses. In Australia today, the doctors have been warned, stop prescribing so many antibiotics. Do you know, last winter in Australia, 70,000 people were admitted to hospital with the flu. It was an epidemic, and never in the history of mankind, or in Australia, have Australians been so vaccinated against, guess what? The flu. And I'm in the airport traveling, and the head of the infectious diseases department comes up. He's a professor. He said, we have an epidemic in Australia. We need to take precautions. You need to have the flu shot. It won't stop the flu. I'm looking around me. Did anyone hear that? You know, there's been a death. No one attended the funeral because no one knew he died. It was the death of common sense. Huh? You talk to anybody that works in aged care. They said, everyone gets the flu vaccine. Some die, doesn't get in the newspaper. Some get the worst flu they've ever got. Some of the patients get dementia. Because you know what's in the flu shot is mercury, and mercury is a neurotoxin. People with the flu, with Alzheimer's, it gets worse, and a very small percentage don't get the flu. Do you know what it says on the flu packet? Not guaranteed to stop the flu. My husband has started his own political party. It's called the Involuntary Medication Objectors Party, objecting in Australia against the forced medication that the government is trying to do. Parents don't get their family payment, all of it now, if they don't vaccinate. In fact, they passed a law in January that vaccinated children, they were not allowed to be accepted in childcare. In fact, if the childcare accepts them, $10,000 fine. And we believe that soon you won't be able to fly, you won't be able to work as a teacher, you won't be able to work in any department unless you've had the flu shot. You know, it's time to stand up. My husband's standing up because he's just righteous indignation. And my husband's likes a fight. My husband and I have never had a fight. He's a very tender husband to me. But, whoa, he's fearless. I sometimes watch what he does and I think, whoa. And, you know, he never, ever raises his voice or get angry. That's very powerful. And a journalist contacted him and she said, are you sure you want to do this? You're going to lose your reputation. Your name's going to be mud. You're going to lose your business. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything you own. Are you prepared for that? He said, yep. I've got some mansions up there. All we have of freedom, all we use and know, this our fathers bought for us long and long ago. Long forgotten bondage, dwarfing heart and mind, this our fathers died to loose. He shall bind again. Rudyard Kipling. Isn't that true? Surely an Adventist wrote that. No. Do you know the freedoms we know? They're going. So my husband memorized that, and he says that. And he can say that because it's not out of the Bible. Remember, we're a very secular nation. He's got a party now, and he's hoping to be voted into the Senate next election. And if he does, he wants to start a royal commission into the thousands of parents whose babies have been maimed and died from the vaccinations, which you never hear about. The great deceiver, deceiving all nations by his pharmakia, drug medication. On Saturday night at Living Springs Health Retreat, we had the graduation. We had 11 guests. And one lady was about to give her testimony, and she ran into the other room, and she came back with a bag full of drugs. She said, I was on all of this when I came here. And she said, my blood pressure was 140 on 80 when I came here. She said, Barbara said to me, you won't need that, and you won't need that, and you won't need that, and you won't need that. She said, all right. She said, I stayed on one blood pressure one. But by Wednesday, her blood pressure was coming down to 135 on 80. And I said to her, why don't you try stopping that one? We had her on the Hawthornberry. I'm going to do a meeting later where we'll talk about the heart. And we had her on the cayenne pepper, best blood thinner, no need for rat poison, warfarin. Mm-hmm. Do you know, in Psalm 103, verse 13, God said that he gave us herbs for the service of man. I love that verse. It comes in and says, where would you like me? Drugs come in and say, get out of my way, I've got a job to do, whether you need it or not. Again, I recognize in a crisis, a drug can save a life. But then the detective hat has to be put on to discover, how do we get to this? And what can we do to ease off those meds? So she said, I stopped it. She said, I had my blood pressure taken yesterday. And she said, I'm 125 on 78. Wow. She had her big bag of drugs there. Now, when I did the final consult with her, I gave her alternatives to all of these. You see, it's important to know why you're doing it and what you're doing. Now, she can't go back home. Do you have pounds here or dollars and cents and kilos? Okay, kilos? You have kilos? So kilos or pounds? Where am I going here? Okay, so I think I'm 50 kilos, which is 100 pounds, about that. This lady was 200. She was 150 kilo, which is about 300 pound. Is that right? So she's very large. And as she implements what I advised, her weight will go down. That will help a lot. Because it's very hard for this lady to exercise. And yet exercise is absolutely vital to strengthen the heart. So what I do is I feel that I act as a social worker now, and I show what she can do. There's no use asking that lady to do the high-intensity interval training and start running up hills, is there? I've got to make a program that is reachable. That is reachable. We live in an amazing body that's got an incredible ability to heal itself. Now, she had not come off the medication because of this. Yeah? So what she learned the truth. We gave her the facts, which strengthened her faith in this amazing body that was designed to heal itself if you give it the right conditions. So we're looking at what damages the DNA so the new cells cannot be made right. And did you know we've got new eye cells every 1 to 2 days? We've got new cells that line the gastrointestinal tract every 3 to 5 days. We've got a new skin every month. We've got a new liver under your right rib every 6 weeks, and we've got new bones every 3 months. You see, we're constantly being remade according to the pattern, according to the formula that's in the DNA. And so the first step to bringing about a healing condition in the body is, remember the course, stop the things that are damaging the DNA. And we come to mold. It's dangerous stuff. I find that there's so much ignorance on the dangers of mold that I have written a book on it. And I have gathered many books from professors. Professor Constantini, he's former head of the World Health Organization Department of Mycology. Remember, mycology studied mold. I've got a textbook, cost me $500, called Clinical Mycology, showing the mold aspect with every disease. Dr. Doug Kaufman works with a Dr. Holland. He's got a book called The Germ That Causes Cancer, showing the mold link with disease. I think we're right. I've got Dr. Tullio Simoncini's book. He's an Italian oncologist, having a 90% success rate with cancer. His book's called Cancer is a Fungus. So what I have done is I've pulled from all of these scientists and researchers, Professor Constantini, 30,000 research, medical research papers in his book. And I've put it together in a little book that you can read in a day called Self-Heal by Design, The Role of Microorganisms in Disease. So that we can have at our fingertips this information. And I show the history of mold, and I go through the Bible and how the Bible says, destroy the house, burn the clothes. That's the cause. When I was a little girl and the bread was moldy, Mum said, oh, don't worry, you're getting your penicillin. In my book, there's a chapter called The Stomach's Secret Weapon, Hydrochloric Acid. If your hydrochloric acid's strong, it will kill it off. Unfortunately, because people are drinking with their meals, because they're eating every 2 hours, because they're having their hugest meal at the end of the day, hydrochloric acid levels are getting exhausted. I've never met anyone with too much acid, but I've met many with not enough acid. Some say, but doesn't it deplete as you get older? Oh, yes, if you're drinking with your meals and eating every 2 hours and eating your largest meal at the end of the day and eating on the run and eating too much. Can you see that? Got to look at why. And we'll touch on some of these things as we go through these lectures. So I've got a little bit of time left, and I just want to show you the microorganisms and their role. We've got just enough time to look at that. Mold is a microorganism. What's a microorganism? Microscopic? And it's one of millions of microorganisms. They're everywhere. And I know in Australia there's a lot of interest in microorganisms and their role in the body. Does that happen in Canada? There was a show on Catalyst. It's a documentary. You can probably watch it on iView, Catalyst, Australian documentary. It says the gut reaction. The whole two shows were on the microorganisms. Do you know there's more microorganisms in the body than cells? And we've got 100 trillion cells. Does that mean we're more plant than animal? And there's 10 times more microorganisms in the gastrointestinal tract than anywhere else in the body. And when you were born, when you were in your mother's utero before you were born, no microbes in your gut. And when you were born, you were literally showered with your mother's microorganisms, if you were born the way God meant you to be born. They're finding babies born via cesarean section have more skin flora in their gut than gut flora. And breast milk, especially in those first couple of weeks, it's rich in those microorganisms. Microorganisms are everywhere, and whenever cell damage happens, these microorganisms have the ability to change roles. One of the most amazing things about the human body is its ability to adapt and adjust. I'm adapting and adjusting right now, have for the last week, because when I left home on our way to the airport, it was 1 degrees. What I do is I just have lots of layers on and they can be peeled off as I travel. I'm so glad the body has the ability to adapt and adjust. So do these microbes. We change roles. I'm not dressed now the way I was at home 2 weeks ago. I had lots of layers on. I'm not dressed now the way I'm dressed if I'm swimming. I'm not dressed now the way I'm dressed when I'm sleeping at night. I'm not dressed now the way I'm dressed if I'm digging in my garden. I'm not dressed now the way I'm dressed if I'm at a wedding. We change roles, is that right? And we change roles according to the environment. So do the microbes. So whenever cell damage happens, these microbes now have the ability to change roles. And the name of the microbe they change into is bacteria. It's all right. That's what bacteria is. That's what it does. So the more cell damage, the more waste, the more bacteria. Florence Nightingale knew this. She was asked to go to Scutari, bottom of the Black Sea. Up the top was Crimea, where the British and the French were fighting the Russians. The wounded were put in boats, sailed down to Scutari, into the hospital there. A journalist, Russell, went from London to report on the war effort. He was shocked at what he found. The death rate in the hospital was 50%. The men had a better chance on the battlefront than in that hospital. So they sent Florence and 35 nurses. She was shocked when she looked. So she immediately contacted the British government and said, "We need a sanitary commission set up to come and assess what's happening in here." Meanwhile, her and her nurses started scrubbings. The doctors hated her. She made them wash their hands between operations. They thought, "Well, we're already bloody. Huh? How come she knew and they didn't?" She read her Bible. Have you ever read the cleanliness rules around the Moses gave to the children of Israel? If they wanted to go to the bathroom, they had to go outside the camp, dig a hole, and no one was to know that they'd ever been there. If someone died, they had to be taken outside the camp, and the people that carried the dead body out of the camp, once it was buried, they could not go back in the camp for 3 days. They had to wash their bodies, they had to wash their clothes. It's all there. And the reason the Black Plague happened in London, it was filthy. And did you know the people in London were drinking the water out of the Thames and the sewage was going into the Thames? This is the hospital in Scutari. Swamp. And there was a dead horse. That's a dead horse. And a dead dog. In the water that the men were drinking, in the water that were washing wounds with. Whew! Can you see what happens when man leaves God and stops reading what the Bible says? Within 1 year, the death rate went from 50% to 2%. And when Florence Nightingale came back to London 14 months later, they hailed her as a heroine. Queen Victoria and Prince Albert were there to greet her. Soon as she saw that, she changed her name to Mary Smith, went down the back gangplank and went home. They said to her later, "Why did you do that?" She said, "I am not a heroine." She said, "All I did was increase hygiene, sanitation and nutrition." Got that? Hygiene. Personal hygiene, keep the body clean, wash it every day, wash the clothes. Sanitation, keep the house clean, empty the rubbish. Nutrition, body cannot heal without nutrition, as you can see. I'm going to show you a graph, and you will not see this graph in any newspaper. Here are all the childhood illnesses. This is mumps, measles, rubella, whooping cough, diphtheria, polio. Wiped out. Some of them 90%, polio 100% wiped out. Then the vaccines were introduced. Well, what caused that? Florence Nightingale. Just read the history. increase in sanitation, increase in hygiene and nutrition. In fact, there was 25,000 babies dying every year. And they said, we need a new hospital. Florence Nightingale was strong. She said, we don't need a new hospital. She said, the children aren't dying because of lack of hospital. The children are dying because the women are not taught hygiene, sanitation and nutrition. Using the same bottle over and over, not changing the babies. Do you call them diapers or nappies? We've got another graph today. It's attention deficit syndrome, Asperger's, hyperactivity, autism, epilepsy, cot death. Children are not dying of infectious diseases today. They are dying of neurological diseases. Why? It's the neurotoxins in the vaccines. My people die from lack of knowledge. What I give you is the facts, and I'm giving you the truth, because there is a deceiver out there, a great deceiver, deceiving in so many ways, ways that many of us do not realize. Let me just show you the polio, because that's one that people question. So in London, there was no polio. So they started putting arsenic and lead in paint and using DDT. Polio arose. There's polio. Someone finally realized it after several years. So they stopped using arsenic and lead in paint, and they stopped using DDT, or greatly reduced it. Guess what happened to polio? That's the truth. What I tell you is the truth. You can get this knowledge in medical journals. And yet the media want us to think that the diseases are coming back because people aren't vaccinating. It's a deception and a lie. So let's have a look at what happens now. As the environment changes, so do the microbes. They now become the exterminators. What are the exterminators? The exterminators are the yeast and fungus. You see them very active on the rainforest floor because they're breaking down all the debris. That's what they do. It's not long after this stage that the undertakers come in. What are the undertakers? They take away dead things. What's their name? Their name is mold. And it's not long after the mold stage that the matter is now brought back to dust. It's the cycle of life. It's the carbon cycle. A basic law of science states nothing's created, nothing's destroyed. It just changes form. That's what the microbes do. Florence Nightingale just cleaned up the hospital, so there was nothing for these guys to do. What does the Bible say in Genesis 3:19? We come from dust, we go back to dust, we're dust. These are the players in the cycle of life. These are the performers in the cycle of life, bringing matter back to dust. So if they're around, we've got to find out, why are they there? Why are they there? They should not be there. Like the smoker that's coughing up yellow lumps. He says, I need some antibiotics. I said, you don't need antibiotics. You know what that yellow is? Dead white blood cells cleaning up the mess. And if you keep drinking wine and eating sugar, and it's just going to feed those microbes, and they're going to say, yippee, this is a good house to live in. We're getting well fed here. And by the way, if you don't cough, how else is it going to get out? And when this is all cleaned up, there'll be nothing left to cough. Common sense isn't very common today, is it? We've been deceived. He's deceived the whole world. It is time for us to put our detectives on and investigate. And show great respect for this amazing body that we live in. You see, God, who commanded the light to shine forth in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this vessel in the earthen vessel, which has been designed to heal itself if you give it the right condition. You know, there's even a herb for every single part of the lung. Did you know that there's a herb for every single part of the kidney? Did you know that there's a herb to move the blood? Herbs. Do you know there's a herbs that help heal the mind? Psalm 103 verse 13, God said he gave herbs for the service of man. They're there to serve you. Because our body can heal itself. No herb will heal you. It comes in and works with the body. Medicine calls it synergism. God in the Bible calls it service. To serve you. Antibiotics have saved lives. They will continue to save lives. But you know what God wants us to do? Nip it in the bud. Do you know there was a test done. 100 people got the flu. 50 took antibiotics. 50 didn't. All got better. Got that? One lady said, I had to take antibiotics. It's 2 weeks. I'm still coughing. I said, yeah, you will. Do you know what Florence Nightingale said? Disease is a process of repair. That cough is getting the waste out so your body can heal. We will be touching on some more things as we go through this week. I've actually touched on a few things that I haven't had time to totally explore, but we will be exploring them as we go through the week. So let us thank God. Let us praise him. And let us do what he asks, and that is to present our bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And it is my aim, it is my prayer, that this week you will learn a few things that will help you on your journey to be able to present God your living sacrifice. And also, my aim is to spark in you an interest to investigate. Once you have conquered your body and your problems, you are now qualified to help others. So please bow your heads while I close. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this amazing body. We know that every single person here is not here by accident. We know that you know our frame. You remember that we are dust. You know our experience. You know our circumstances. And you are able. You are able to heal us. You are able to help us. You are able to guide our journey through the waters and bring us safely home. And we thank you that you can and you will do that, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.